All right, all right. Welcome to another episode of the Modern Couples podcast, Love, Purpose, Growth. And I just had this wonderful conversation with Martin Rose, who is authentic leadership coach. And we will dive deep into the world of how to awaken your own inner leader in private and in business life and why it matters. He and his wife and his son are living here in Bali together with me in the Thrive Village. And we are in the Thrive Village, a community of about 40 people living here. And the village, yeah, if you haven't heard of it yet, take a look at it online. Thrive Village Bali is based on the four pillars of entrepreneurship, spirituality, hedonism, and sustainability. And so many great ideas and so many great spirits find their, awaken here. But yeah, not going too deep into that. I would like to anchor you in the moment for this conversation. If you are not driving, then you can close your eyes for a moment. But other than that, keep your eyes obviously open. Let's take three conscious breaths to really arrive in the here and now and to let go of what has been before or what's maybe distracting you. So take a deep inhale through the nose and consciously guide your breath to your belly or to your root chakra, really deep. And when you exhale, let go of tension, let go of anything that doesn't serve you anymore. Relax your shoulders. Take another deep inhale. And feel how fresh energy enters your body and let go and exhale. And then in your own, continue with the conscious breathing and place one hand over your heart if you can to really feel you. And with the other hand, rub the ear loops a little bit. And now you are set to go to listen up, not just with your ears, but with your heart. I love the setting for our podcast interview, and you can just picture yourself sitting here next with us, and we will talk about, well, as always, love, purpose, and growth. But as introduced, Martin is leadership coach, and it's all about authentic leadership. So for me, it's really a part where it's about also a new way of guiding, of leading people. And as you know, it's also a little bit my background to work in the agile field and with leadership. So we have quite some similarities in that regard. And I would love to dive into the world of what we see in the leadership and relationship world there as well. Maybe as a little excursus. To start off, Martin, welcome to the show. Maybe you can say a few words about yourself, who you are.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me. Who am I? I think foremost, I'm a father, I'm a business person, I'm a husband, I'm somebody who is continuously seeking different aspects of his own personality and trying to, find out who I am. Seems to be an ongoing journey. I'm somebody who, loves nature, who lives on Bali currently with you in the Thrive Village. I think I'm like a next door person with a lot of experience who, very early in my life, I had to take over lots of experience, which, helped me to create the life that I'm currently living. I can tell you a little bit what I'm doing currently. So as you said, I'm working as a leadership coach. I used to run my first own company, I think, back in 2013. Then I joined a couple of international consultancies and finally figured out I want to be self-employed again. So 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago, I started my own business as a coach and a trainer. Did a lot of team development and leadership development. Currently, I'm almost only doing leadership coachings and leadership classes, running my own in-house leadership development program. Yeah, and the major topic of all that, leadership development, is not so much cognitive leadership tools and how to become, you know, a better leader in terms of efficiency and results. It's more about finding out, you know, who you really are, looking deep inside of you and your personality, and getting rid of all the conditioning and all the things that are left from your socialization process, and freeing basically the leader inside of yourself for you to be clearer and be more yourself and be more in your center, and from there bring your present, your gift into the world. I think that pretty much describes on a meta level what I'm doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right?
And it's beautifully said, especially like bringing the gifts into the world, because what you learn as a leader or in business, it translates also into the relations outside of the business world. And I mean, from what I've seen you do here, so we have been living here together for 4 months in the Thrive Village, and I'm lucky to see a little bit of what you do and your approach. Yeah, the transformation that happens, yeah, it has an impact on all areas of life for you as a leader. And that immediately, yeah, I would like to dive deeper into that, because yesterday we already spoke about the patterns or the mindset that we see in organizations. I saw it as well. Like, what kind of relationship mindset or patterns do you see when you work in organizations and with leaders? Especially in the beginning, when you start the coaching process or when you start working with them.
Yeah. I mean, with regards to their private relationships, mm-hmm. or like the business relationships they have with each other?
And maybe it's a little bit of both, because okay. It translates. But
yeah, okay. So I see that, particularly in business, that many relationships are very superficial. That people try to build up personas, like the achiever persona, the reliable one, I don't know, the 110% giver, and all these different, you know, business personas that people try to be because they think they have to be a certain way in order to be successful, or in order to be somebody. And that doesn't really help to build like meaningful and deep relationships, because everybody is faking it, right? Mm-hmm. To a certain extent. They wouldn't necessarily say that. They would probably say, no, this is just, you know, this is how I am. And they are convinced that they really want to be that person. It also stems from the fact that most people don't really know who they are. They believe that they are their conditioning, and this is just how life is for them. And this is okay, right? I'm not judging that. I'm just saying, I think there can be a much deeper level to it once you dare to, you know, look deeply inside of you and, you know, do the work. Because it doesn't come easy and it doesn't come naturally. Right. And what I see, I was talking about that yesterday with somebody. I'm working with a lot of male leaders, right? Because to a certain extent, that is just a systemic thing where we have more male leaders than female leaders, unfortunately, like in many positions. The higher you get, the less female leaders you have still, right? Which sucks, but that is still the case. Mm. And so what I see in these masculine male relationships, they're even more superficial than when a female person's involved. It's really about, you know, I say that colloquially, it's like, who has the bigger dick? They wouldn't probably say that, but like lots of the behavior points to that. It's really about, you know, who has done more, who has more experience, who has, you know, the bigger car, the bigger, like all these stereotypical things. But it's all like, I hear slogans like, you know, happy wife, happy life, As if, you know, you gotta please the dragon at home, and this is a cool thing to say to your male colleagues. It's like, how's that a cool thing? Or, you know, I have to talk to my government, and they mean their wife, right? And it's like, what is that? Like, what does that tell me about you, who you want to be by expressing that towards me? And what does that tell me about your relationship at home? Like, are you on eyesight level with your spouse, with your partner, or not? Like, are you just pretending that you are sort of inflating your ego and deflating your spouse's ego? And you think this is a cool thing, and you're just pretending that in order to get my appreciation or my recognition for it? I'm not really sure. Anyways, it's definitely some sort of ego game that people are playing. And this is what I'm seeing a lot, right? A lot of ego game. And a lot of subconscious ego game. Mm-hmm. Like, people really think this is the world and this is how you have to behave. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are not, they're not evil. They're not running around and they want to be, you know, egocentric assholes. It's just how they think this is the best way to get along in life. This is the best way to survive in business. Mm-hmm. And this just makes me really sad, you know? Yeah.
Oh, yes. And it's kind of accepted and normal. I see that as well. I hear that as well. And I feel like it takes a lot of courage to be the one who chooses to show up differently, to speak differently about their private life, their relationship at home, their loved one. To speak and show up, yeah, with in a way with a new authentic leader energy, or also male energy. And I'm wondering, so from your background, you were, so to say, professionally born and raised in one of those setups. And how did you find, like, how was your way to grow and develop into the person you are now, going out there helping these leaders also see their life, their relations from a different way? I mean, you're not focusing on relationships, and still you do a lot of inner work with them that might also translate into
absolutely
talking differently. But how was your way and leading to the relation that you are living? How would you say, what are things that you learned from there? Somehow what we see in the outside is also a mirror for us. Like, who do we want to be, and how do we want to be different, or adapt and copy that? So what were things that you learned from the organizational world and that changed you and made you into the person you are now?
I think for the longest part of my life, I was exactly the person that I was just describing. I was the person trying to play that ego game, trying to be somebody, trying to subconsciously trying to fill an inner void by doing a lot of things in the outside world, by hustling a lot, by, you know, doing a lot of quote unquote hard work, by trying to be an achiever, by trying to build a certain business persona, especially during my consultancy years. And all that, at one point, I figured that was all a lot of running away from energy. I was running away from something. I didn't exactly know what that was, until I figured at one point, well, I was running away from exactly the opposite of what I was trying to achieve. When I was trying to be an achiever person, I was running away from being a loser. I was running away from the fear of failing, of being unsuccessful. And all my life, subconsciously, I was driven by a lot of fear, and I was driven by a lot of shame, aspects of my life that I was trying to neglect, and that was, I was certainly suppressing a lot emotionally. And again, subconsciously, right? It was not a subconscious choice to do that. It was my strategy to survive in the world. And everybody around me was doing the same thing. So that was widely accepted behavior. There was a breaking point, and that was not even the start of my own business 3 years ago. It was rather like sort of in the first year of my son's life. So that was certainly a rough period, the first year. Maybe I can talk about that later a little bit, but there was sort of a turning point where I figured, okay, this is not how things can continue, right? It cannot be that life is generally tough or is difficult, or that I continuously have to juggle all these different responsibilities, and that I have to fight for, you know, time for solitude or time for myself, basically, or that I'm getting triggered all the time. Not like all the time, but, you know, several times a day, certainly. And that I couldn't really, you know, process things emotionally, especially anger and fear and sadness. And it was always rationalizing everything. It was always trying to, you know, fix things as quickly as possible. And apparently this entire behavior did not show the results that I intended for them to show. So something needed to change. And that was the first time where I was like, so I'm doing leadership work. Leadership work is like 95% inner work. It's like, how come that has no effect on me? Like something I must be doing wrong, right? Like, what is that? And then I started on like a personal development journey that, you know, sort of happened organically to me, but was a lot of work over the years, you know, looking into shadow aspects of my personality, really exploring, you know, who I am, doing different also spiritual practices like meditation, breath work, etc. And step by step, figuring out, you know, how many layers of conditioning were upon me that were directly affecting my ability to live in meaningful and deep relationships, not only at home, but also, you know, with friends and also in business with clients, etc. Many of the relationships that I was having were really fake up to that point. Maybe apart from like 2-3 very good friends, my direct family, but even with my dad, to a certain extent, even with my mom, who I was always having a closer relationship with. And certainly most of the relationship, if not all the relationships I've built up during my consultancy years, they were all fucking fake. Like, there was all like, it was all like, you know, everybody was trying to be somebody, lots of hurt little children trying to, yeah, as I said, try to fill an inner void with a lot of external stuff. And I don't even mean materialistic acquirements, like, you know, things you buy, more like by hustling and trying, you know, achieving things like the next certificate, like the next successful project. It's like, as if on your deathbed, you look back and you're like, wow, it was so great how we rocked that IT project back in 2013. It's like, nobody fucking gives a shit. You know, sorry for swearing. But
you weren't allowed that to.
That was something that, you know, dawned on me at one point. Yeah. So yeah. Not sure if I answered your your question, but yeah.
All these fake relationships, yes, there's definitely I can see in many people how at one point when they go this way of, well, for me, coming from the modern couples aspect, when I see a mindset shift, their relationship changes in all areas of life, and very often they need to change something in their professional life and in their private life all of a sudden, because it doesn't feel authentic anymore. And it's, yeah. But during that time, I would like to know how, so maybe moving a bit towards the world of your relationship, you are living here with Michelle. I get to see the two of you working together on your business. She supports you in running the business. I see a great sparring partner there. How did she support or hinder? How did the relationship support you on your way? Because I mean, that's also, big personality shift. And how was it for you in the relationship? Was it like easy flowing? Oh, my husband goes to these deep inner work seminars, comes back a different person. Like what happens there at home, working together, raising a child together? Yeah. How did you make sure? What were some of the learnings during that time for the two of you?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of the journey we're walking together. So when I was changing, or when she was changing, I mean, she's also developing and, you know, on her own journey. It's always to the better of our relationship, because ultimately we have a better, I don't know, for example, emotional capacity, better nervous system regulation, getting triggered less and less. We have more empathy for ourselves and for each other. We forgive quickly, and we don't take things too seriously. We understand each other's patterns much better. And in order to understand each other's patterns, obviously you gotta understand your own first. So, yeah. So I think throughout the years, also our relationship became a lot more authentic and a lot more real, you know, because also we stopped pretending to be somebody in front of each other. And we can tell each other, you know, when I'm getting triggered, I can immediately say, oh, there is something happening inside of me. I'm getting triggered right now. And then Michelle knows, okay, I have to hold the space right now. And if I cannot hold the space, we need to find a solution for the situation now, instead of, you know, running blindly into some sort of unconscious conflict and then starting to fight about, you know, little things. And then this gets escalated and then everybody's having a bad day, you know, and you're not actually, you know, doing the things that you want to do and living the life that you want to live. It was, I think there were certain moments where we even had conversations about, you know, okay, if you're going down that path and maybe I'm going down a different one, like, how is that going to be compatible? And like, how are we going to, you know, stay together? But that was only...
Which path was that? Like, you were going...
That was like, me embarking on, you know, very spiritual things and understanding, you know, okay, the outside world is more a reflection of my inner world rather than the opposite. Mm-hmm. And that was an early stage of her development where she was like, I don't fully believe that, I think something like that. But that was like, that's like 7-8 years ago. But... But yeah, I think I was challenging the concept of reality and, you know, what actually makes reality and what is a meaningful life and is there any meaning to the things that we are doing? And I was challenging all these concepts that I was taking for granted. I was taking for granted until then, and that obviously changed my worldview and also the way that I was talking about things and how I was engaging in conflict and so on and so on and in the relationship in general. But yeah, then I think that also triggered some sort of growth journey for her. And funnily enough, I think it's often Michelle triggering the next step. And we have very, very different patterns. Maybe we can talk about the patterns in a moment. But like, for instance, I was struggling to leave my very well-paid, high-status consultancy career because I was afraid of the insecurity coming with self-employment. And it was her ultimately pushing me. And she was like, okay, you got to quit now. Now, like today. And I'm like, okay, like, if you say so, then this is probably fine. So there were like many of these like very small moments where she was actually pushing my journey forward. I think maybe because subconsciously she also knows that she grows when I grow. And then again, she sometimes grows in aspects like conscious parenting is a topic that she is driving like so greatly in our relationship, where I am like, you know, I'm continuously impressed by, you know, how consciously she acts with our son, and how invested she is in, you know, different topics, where I'm like, wow, this is so amazing. Like, I didn't even know that exists, you know, and like, she's constantly challenging my behavior as a dad, and to a certain extent also rightfully criticizing me sometimes and calling me out on my bullshit, you know, and and that again triggers, you know, reflection and development within me. So yeah, I think there's a very, yeah, we are, no, we all have, we have different roles, and they fit together like very well in this journey. And yeah, together we are holding the space for each other, and then this works. And obviously this is a lot of work, and it's not, it doesn't come, you know, easy, and it's all, you know, a flyby, ooh, life is so great, and we're all on this great journey, love, light, and, you know, everything. It's, no, it's tough at times, and it's struggling, and it's absolutely worth it.
Oh. Quick question. What do you do when your wife calls you out?
Yeah. It depends a little bit on on the significance of the situation, but usually I start a defense mechanism, which is, I certainly start by justifying my behavior. Or trying to be right for a moment, you know, in a way of, you know, no, you're not right, I am more right than you, bullshit that, you know, doesn't further any conversation, doesn't help to find any solution. But then I'm getting a lot quicker in, you know, realizing that, you know, okay, this is bullshit. Even if I have a different opinion, my opinion does not really matter, as her opinion doesn't really matter in this situation. It's not about judging the situation. It's about, you know, what kind of feeling do I have towards the situation, and how does that point to, you know, my own needs, and how well can I articulate my own needs currently, and how do we find a solution that fulfills both, or like all of our needs of the involved parties. Like, usually, often this, obviously our son Jonah is also involved. Yeah, so. And I think the same happens with her. Like, I, when I think about it, it's not that often that I'm calling out her bullshit, because she's not, I think she's just not bullshitting so often as I'm doing it, but fair enough, fair enough. Yeah. Uh-huh. But there are different patterns, obviously, where I have a different role. Like, for instance, she seeks a lot more control and security than I do. And I'm more like, you know, yeah, freedom and trust, and it's going to be fine, you know. Not sure how often I said it's going to be fine in our relationship, probably a million times, where she's like, no, I need security, and like, you know, and I need, you know, financial planning, and I'm like, it's going to be cool. Like, there's like thousands of clients, even if I can't see, you know, too far into the future, everything is going to be great. And yeah, where I'm helping her to, you know, loosen up and get out of her mind and stop overthinking things and just, you know, be in a moment, where she's a lot often more in the future. And again, this helps me to, you know, plan more ahead and be more structured and so on. So I think that fits together very well.
Yeah. I'm reading a book at the moment about the masculine in relationships. Mm-hmm. And there is a big part on leadership in relationships. And I saw that in that story in there. What do you think, how much leadership is required in a relationship? And maybe let's talk about, can you go with the idea of it's the responsibility of masculine to provide leadership in a relationship?
Well, that's a tough one. I think, maybe we got to talk about, you know, what's leadership. So for me, leadership is the ability of, you know, how well you can express your own authenticity and how good you are with your emotions and how emotionally free you are. And that comes with sort of a level of self-empathy, to being able to listen first to yourself and then obviously to others, and then by authentically expressing yourself. And with that expression, you create understanding for yourself, for the situation, and you open a room for solutions and a room for, you know, for bonding over an issue, rather than being enemies over an issue, rather than, you know, everybody trying to be right. One thing I'm always seeing in the business world, everybody's, you know, board meeting, everybody's trying to be right. And obviously that doesn't really help. So one thing that is absolutely required for that is vulnerability, right? You gotta look inside you, you gotta feel yourself, and you gotta look through your own bullshit and the layers of your conditioning. You gotta look into secondary, like from the secondary emotion that you are experiencing on the surface, like anger, you gotta look deeper into, you know, what is behind that? What am I afraid of? What am I ashamed of? What am I sad about? What's the deeper thing inside of me that's currently moved, and where's that coming from? What kind of need do I have? What kind of value is mistreated or is fulfilled, right? And then expressing that. And I think the capacity of doing that, and having that capacity available most of the day, that I think is a symbol for strong leadership, also in a relationship, but also in business. And sometimes we have that capacity only for a very limited time, and then we are overwhelmed with, you know, the emotions or the situation, or, you know, it's just too much for us, or we were planning for a different thing to happen, and then, you know, change, and then something else happens, and we are annoyed by it, or, you know, something, or disappointed or whatever. And then our nervous system loses the ability to regulate itself. And then we usually go into that fight or flight or freeze mode, right? Mm-hmm. And the ability of not going into that fight, flight or freeze, I think that is basically the leadership that you have in relationship, especially when you have kids, I think, because they're excellent at triggering, you know, even more situations than you could already do with your spouse.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I think
it's more like a shared leadership in that regard.
Exactly. It's shared leadership, and it's like identifying quickly if the other person has the capacity for vulnerability, or if the other person closes down and is just, you know, is triggered and is basically running an automated subconscious pattern, and, you know, is sort of caught up in that. And then not judging them for being caught up in it, but holding the space and trying to resolve the situation with your empathy. And then obviously the situation is fucked up when both people don't have empathy for themselves or for the other person. And then you got to find a different way. And then you know how to find a way, because that is just, you know, subconscious conflict resolving. And yeah, I think that is basically the leadership in a relationship when I think about it.
So the patterns, you mentioned the patterns between the two of you. Yeah. What are some of the patterns that over time you discovered and were able to solve? For me, modern couples, modern relationships are really strong in regard to doing the inner work, are willing to do the inner work, and yeah, over time discover this and that. So what are some of the things that you resolved, or maybe also you have patterns that you see but don't yet know how to resolve? Where are you? Where are the two of you with regard to your patterns?
Yeah. So I already mentioned a couple of them, like, you know, me being more in the moment, she being more in the future, which means I'm more generally trusting that things are going to be fine. That also accounts for, you know, Jonah is running around in the village here and she's like, where's Jonah? And I'm like, I don't know, but it's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, he's like 3 years old. I really want to know, you know, it's the first time, I need to get used to the situation. Uh-huh. I'm like,
I remember
why?
That day.
You know, yeah. Like, so yeah, it's these like very small moments. In business, this is often, you know, me being relaxed about, you know, opportunities happening, clients coming in. You know, I always trust that, you know, things are moving forward because I know I'm doing a good job, and, you know, people are happy with my work and they are going to refer me, and they kept referring me for the last 3 years, and it was always going on. It was even, you know, it was growing a lot. It was going really great. And there's no indication for me to not trusting that situation any further. And she's like, okay, you know, what about the cash flow? What about the business planning? We need to check the financial planning. Like, I'm like, yeah, we can, but it doesn't change anything about the situation, you know? So these are like sort of the struggles. Yeah.
And have you found a way to deal with them yet? So it's like different need of safety and security.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Yeah, we give each other the space for it. So we accept that this, like, in the good moments, not all the time, but mostly we accept that this is an aspect of the other person's personality, and that is an essential need for the other person that needs to be fulfilled. So we respect that instead of, you know, fighting about that.
Oh, yeah.
And we also know that, you know, fulfilling that need of freedom for me is difficult for the other person to, you know, hold that and to allow that to happen. Because it does not fulfill the need for security in that moment, right? Or my need for adventure, like, which Michelle, I think, does not have, right? Mm-hmm. She's just like, I can stay in the same place. If it's great, I'm just staying there. It's like, I'm like, no, I need to see different things and stuff. So basically, we allow each other for that to happen. And like financial planning, she's like, okay, I need financial planning for security. And I'm like, okay, so then let's do that for the next hour or so. And then I'm more chilled with it. You know, I'm more relaxed. I know this is going to trigger me, and I know I can have a lot of thoughts about the situation and a lot of judgments, and I can, like, in every second sentence, I could potentially say, no, this is going to be fine, you know, chill. And she can, you know, she can do the same thing, just reverse, and it doesn't help. So we just allow for the things to happen. We hold the space for the other person. We you know, give comfort to each other. And then this moment is fine. And we say thank you to each other that this was allowed to happen. And we hug and we kiss and it's fine, you know, and then we move on. And yeah, but it took us a while to get there. And it's also not that this is happening every time, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, just the wrong timing, just the wrong day, you know, something like this happens, or which means emotional capacity is already low, and then something like that kicks in, and then, yeah, this is going to be difficult. But then we find a solution, as we always find, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Other patterns, I have that thing where I start dreaming big, and where I start, you know, visualize things that I want to happen. Like, you know, at one point in my life, there was this big ass house, or that was living in a different country. Hey, now we're living in a different country. And that was like, you know, me starting my business. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be a 6-figure business within 5 months. And she's like, yeah, let's see. You know, she's more like on that playing small side, not because she likes to play small. It's more like because she wants to avoid to get disappointed if things do not turn out the way they turn out. And it's just a different way of looking at life, you know. I'm looking at life in a way, you know, everything is grand and everything is possibility, and, you know, everything is possible if I just put my mind to it and I start working for it. But I got a dream at first. And she's like, you know, if I plan properly, things are going to turn out exactly the way I want them to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
And this can be a great plan with, you know, big goals, but it's basically dependent on, you know, the planning and the doing,
mm-hmm.
and not so much the dreaming and visualizing of it. But then also, to a certain extent, and this again fits together very well, because you cannot do just either. Or you gotta, you know, combine it well. So this is why one aspect why we became a very great team, also professionally. I think there are many more like smaller patterns, but yeah.
It's a beautiful partnership example. Where really you get to learn to live with the differences of one another, and instead of changing the other, embracing the differences and seeing what you get there, an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to make sure somebody else covers that part. And I got to see here in this time the journey you went in this rife village, and how Michelle was there to encourage you, and what you already mentioned, like really hold the space. I think that's something I admired most, seeing the two of you thriving here in the Thrive Village, how well she knows you, being on your side in your personal development, can hold the space, can step back. And then when you were ready to talk or ready to talk about those dreams and visions, she was immediately there to visualize it and be there. And meanwhile, there was space and at the same time humor about it. The humor is something really important, I think, in the relationship there. What would you say, where are you on your journey of finding your purpose?
Every time I'm committing on a purpose, I think, this is it now. And it seems to be continuously evolving for the better. So I expect things to, you know, even evolve more in the future. But from the current phase of my life, just quite recently, after a couple of coachings that I've had, that I took, I had a lot of puzzle pieces falling in place from the last, like, recent years. And then I figured at one point, you know, if I want to, you know, find my purpose or define, commit to a purpose, that purpose doesn't hide somewhere out there. It's not like you gotta, you know, travel the world to find your purpose, or you gotta find it somewhere in some thing that you can do or bring to the world. It's always hidden in your own story, you know. And that's what I mean with, you know, the puzzle pieces falling in place, was like different pieces in my own journey that I didn't, where I didn't connect the dots yet. And a couple of months back, like my leadership coaching, or my business basically also evolved into that idea, you know, it's not about teaching people to be a great leader in the outside. I was not, you know, necessarily only doing that, but it's much more about helping people to, you know, look deeply into their inside and sort of awaken the leader within them, instead of, you know, applying another tool and another technique and another, being so much in your mind and all these cognitive tools that I was using and models and so on. Like, they're all great and they all have their place, but they all build on sand if you didn't do the inner work yet and you're not, you know, authentic and secure with yourself. I feel very safe on, you know, this is what I'm going to do for the next couple of years, because this just makes absolutely sense to me. It's like, the more authentic and vulnerable people, and I'm not saying leaders on purpose, even if I'm almost only working with business leaders, but ultimately they're just human beings, you know, and the same thing accounts for every human being. The more human beings we have that, you know, did inner work, that, you know who they are, and they stripped away the conditioning that they received from their parents and their environment when they grew up and their business life so far, and the more real they become, the more they will be able to have the impact on the world that they want to have, and that, you know, feels fulfilling to them, and that would really make a difference, instead of, you know, trying to pretend to be a successful business person and, you know, waiting for your paycheck every month. And I'm exaggerating now, right? But, and, you know, saying, yeah, my job is cool, it's fun, it's great, but, you know, are you really on fire? Is that really what you full-heartedly love to do, when you were absolutely free to start from scratch, to do whatever you love to do? Would that be the present you bring into the world? And if you full-heartedly can say, yes, this is absolutely it, okay, then this is great. But how many people can genuinely say that?
Yeah.
And this is just very few, right? And I'm working with leaders to do that, because I think they have a great impact on, you know, business cultures and the companies and how workspaces are being designed and how they can hold space for transformation of their employees and their team members. So they have a great butterfly effect. Right. So, and currently that for me also describes a collective transformation that we as human beings need to make in order to, you know, catch up with the technology and technological development that we have seen in the recent decades, and where our societal and human development is sort of lacking behind and is not developing as quickly as technological development is advancing. Mm-hmm. And we see all the struggles and all the, you know, burnouts and illnesses and so on in our society, and we think this is just it, when in fact this is a direct reflection of how we are inside, and not, you know, that our inside is victim to, you know, all our circumstances and all the situations that we find ourselves in. And sort of shifting that paradigm within people and helping them to come back into their power and helping to find their authenticity, and from there going out in life and creating something that is extraordinary rather than, you know, I'm just living an average life. That is just, you know, this is where, you know, my calling is, and where I feel, you know, my inner flame is like burning a lot. Yeah.
Oh, yes. So, yeah. You got me there. It's why we do have a little bit of different target group. It's exactly also like that spark that I see in entrepreneurial couples that go out there to live their thriving life privately, as well as a leader with their own startup or business. And from there, I feel that we can see change in the world. Like, the more people find their purpose or fill the inner vacuum and stop running around like after titles and all this, not knowing what they really want to do in life. Because I feel that once you do connect to a purpose, do connect to a vision, and maybe it changes in 3 years, but once you go for that, it's very likely not harming the world. It's very likely like with a deeper meaning coming from the inside out, and it's leading to more sustainable ways of living in all areas, like making better choices, having deeper relationships. Coming to an end, I would like to know, so from your experience, what are some of the advice and tips that you can give to modern couples, so couples that are also craving to build a thriving life, be it professionally and privately? What are some of the tips and advice that you have found over the year about how to create your dream life design?
Yeah, excellent question. I think first things first, you gotta get your own shit in order. You gotta get on top of your own shit, right? And even if you think there is no shit, there's a lot of shit. Even if you think you've done all the work and you came a long way, I'm telling you, it's very likely that there is a lot more to explore. So, yeah, and don't expect anybody else to do the things when you haven't done them. Don't expect your partner to be a great partner and be able to hold space if you can't hold space. If you don't know, when you don't know what holding space means, you know there's a lot of things to do right now.
That's true.
I think with understanding your own patterns, your psychology, your ego construct, stripping the layers of conditioning, and getting more clarity and profound knowledge about, you know, how things are working inside of you, you will also gain a lot more understanding for everyone around you. And ultimately, you'll get a lot more chilled, because you will realize everybody is just living in their own reality. There is nothing like objective reality. There's just subjective reality. And this basically comes by the judgment that people make about the different situations that they're in. And you're just making a different judgment than your spouse is doing or anybody that you know is doing. And this ultimately creates conflict and creates, you know, different opinions and so on and so on. So yeah, and when you understand yourself better, you can understand the other self, you can understand the other person better, and you become a better we, right? Because you can have more empathy with each other, you can, you know, forgive quickly, you can not be triggered when somebody says something that is maybe even crossing the line and it's not nice to say. You don't have to flip, you know, you don't have to react on that. You can still be calm and neutral, be in your center and understand that what the other person just said, even if that could potentially trigger you or maybe would have triggered you in the past, you are still a conscious person that has a choice in every given moment. You don't have to be identified with the emotional trigger. You don't have to be in the emotion. You can, you know, experience that within yourself and then with more consciousness act in a way that it is, you know, meeting the different needs involved in the situation and actually resolving the situation without escalating it. And I think it comes down to these situations in so many moments, in so many different moments, different conflict situations, like micro conflicts and so on and so on. Yeah, I guess training yourself in you know, catching yourself when the ego is being triggered and then directly making a switch and being able to authentically and vulnerably expressing that towards the other person is something that is an absolute game changer to any relationship. Yeah. And on that way, be gentle with yourself. Because, yeah, it's not going to work all the time. It's not working for me all the time. And it's fine, you know. Forgive quickly, move on. It's not so important. The things that you're fighting about, ultimately, they have no meaning. It's just the meaning that you give to them that provide meaning in the first place. So it's all happening inside of you. It's not really happening out there. And you have full, maybe not full control, but you have consciousness to, you know, change things to the better. And with that understanding, with that higher level of consciousness, your relationship becomes so much more solid and so much more deep and genuine. You know, and this is what I wish every person to experience, you know. I think this is the advice I have to give. Many more smaller things, but I think it comes down to that.
Yeah, but some good points there. And I want to add that sometimes when you get caught in the drama, or when you are caught in your perception, it's not just always you and the spouse that need to figure it out. Sometimes it's also helpful to speak with somebody else about these things or to hear other couples or other friends' stories to get perspective on what you experience. And sometimes that's also something that helps. That's why, for example, in modern couples, we have the masterminds, the communities where it's possible to speak and get inspired by other couples, to do the inner work, not just with yourself, but also with the support and in a safe container with others. And wow, those were quite some clear instructions and a roadmap where to go and what to do. I love this masculine energy guiding us. And if you want to dive deeper into the world of awakening your inner authentic leader in the world of relations, feel free to check out the Modern Couples website or follow me on Instagram, Marcella Anna Brebaum. And what I really want to encourage is also the idea of joining one of our newly launched masterminds, where you get the chance to talk to other relationship people, to other modern couples. Because very often the topics that come up when you do the inner work, they don't necessarily have to be
shared and resolved always just within the two of you, within the couple. But oftentimes it's easier to get inspiration from others or also share the topics with groups. So the Modern Couples Masterminds is a safe container for you to explore the world of relationships and upgrade your skills. Check it out. Also have a look at Martin's website. The link is in the show notes. He is launching a workshop beginning of May. Take a Leap, and his target group are leaders in organization, leaders of the new age, I would say, or leaders, managers. And this is obviously for all genders, who are ready to explore the inner world to show up more present as a leader in the day-to-day life. Check it out. I also tag his social media profiles, and yeah, looking forward to seeing you in the next podcast. Leave a like, follow, please subscribe. It helps me spread the message with more and more people.